war, but she was too far away for him to intercede. He instinctively reached for the pistol that he'd worn in a holster on his right-hand side until a few weeks ago. When he lost his job as a cop, he'd had to hand it in, and private citizens in Detroit weren't permitted to carry a weapon. "Damn," he swore, as Rachel clung to her rucksack with one arm as if her life depended on it. She struck out with the other arm, punching one of the attackers so hard in the face that he stumbled backward, cursing and holding his bloody nose. Lennox knew that Rachel would carry on fighting even if she knew she couldn't win, but it was clear that her attackers weren't going to give up. They didn't notice Lennox until he was practically on top of them. Panicking, one of the masked figures pulled out an old-fashioned pistol, but instead of pointing it at Lennox, he aimed it at Rachel. Lennox no longer remembered whether it was the shot or the flash that confirmed his worst fears, but he kept seeing the same image in slow motion of Rachel falling, a huge bloody hole in her chest, and her long black hair tumbling after her dying body like a flag in the breeze. She had barely hit the ground before one of the attackers ripped the rucksack off her and they all ran away. Lennox fell on his knees on the hot asphalt next to her and tried in vain to close the wound in her chest with his hands. But her large eyes simply stared up at him, empty, as if she couldn't believe what had just happened. He shouted her name, but she didn't answer. The only reply came loud and clear from his inner voice. "She's dead, Len. Oh, God, she's dead." 3 months later, Lennox hastily swallowed down his bean soup, even though it was just as tasteless as the insect powder that Ed usually served him, that he claimed was much better than meat for strengthening muscle. He had to eat something, though, otherwise he'd never survive the boxing matches that had been his self-imposed punishment since Rachel's death. Ed Pekorsky, a bald man in his late 50s, whose many facelifts made him look like something from Area 51, stood behind him and urged him to hurry up. After Rachel's death, Lennox had ended up living under a bridge in Detroit, where Ed had found him. And even though he'd been quite thin, Ed had immediately recognised his boxing potential. Lennox was in his mid-20s. Over 1.90 meters, left-handed, and had an exceptionally long reach. "With a bit of protein, I'll make a real man of you," Ed had said, promising him not just a bed in his apartment, but also a job as a street fighter in his club, in which humans were pitted against machines. Lennox, who'd burnt through all his savings by that point, didn't have to think for long and accepted the offer. Pekorsky, who used to be something big in Detroit's drug business, ran his club in the basement of a condemned industrial building, organising illegal fights and an equally illegal betting shop, where the audience gambled their last credits on the outcome of a fight. Their favourite thing was the spectacular sight of Lennox taking on decommissioned robocops and tearing them to pieces. He was more than happy to smash in the blank faces of these stupid tin cans. They'd not only cost him his job as a cop, but in his eyes, they were also responsible for Rachel's death. It was their fault that he was now sitting half naked in this dilapidated kitchen. "Come on, Len," Ed beckoned him over. "Get this stuff in you. It'll all kick off in 30 minutes, and you need to be aggressive enough to send the evening's opponents to the scrap heap they deserve." "Yeah, of course," grumbled Lennox, taking another gulp of whiskey. It was the only thing that made this hell slightly bearable. His head was thudding and his stomach was rebelling, and the previous day's injuries had not yet completely healed, despite their nanotechnology treatment. Ed performed the usual doping with the calm of a nurse, filling an unprepossessing jet injector with green liquid from an ampoule and gesturing to Lennox to sit down at the table. "It's good stuff," commented Ed as Lennox, still in his shorts, sat down backwards on a kitchen chair and presented his jugular with a grunt. Without hesitation, Ed placed...